we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we can. We'll be blessed because we can.
Some dimensions of salvation. John 3:16, I think we all know it so well together, we could say it from memory. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So that's what I believe is the greatest verse in the Bible. Certainly the greatest verse on the doctrine of salvation, which I believe is the greatest doctrine in the Bible. If you want the Bible in a nutshell, there it is, in John 3:16. We're going to look this morning at some dimensions of salvation. There's a verse in Ephesians chapter 3, 18, that says of God's love, that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height of his love. We're talking about salvation, but salvation is an expression of the love of God. We read it in this greatest verse in the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. And it doesn't say anything about salvation. I mean, the word salvation is not found here, but obviously it is all about salvation. What God did for us, we cannot do for ourselves. So we're looking at some dimensions of salvation. And first of all, I want us to consider the height of salvation. I'm sure you all see the cross there. So loved, God so loved. So I'm going to use the cross there as an object lesson, if you will, to depict the different dimensions of salvation. The vertical dimension, pointing upward here, is the first one that we're looking at. And this is the dimension of height. Now, these are kind of my suggestions, so it's kind of interpreting what I believe the Bible is saying to us here about salvation in this one verse of the Bible. John 3:16, the most important verse in all the Bible. I think you would all agree. We're looking at the height, first of all, of that salvation. As we look at the verse there, God so loved. God. That really says it all as far as the height of the dimension of salvation. God is our Creator. He is above us all, but he's around us all as well. He is the Creator. He is the one to whom all of us must one day give account. He is the owner of the universe. He's the one who sent his Son. The Bible says, God says, in fact, I dwell in the high and holy place with him or her that is of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. God is a high and holy God. He is holy. He's supreme. He's superb. So loved, the Bible says. I don't know that there's a more important two-letter word in all of literature. If you want to call the Bible literature, it is more than literature, of course. But I don't know that there's a more important word there in all the Bible, really, than that little word, so. Because it tells us the superb nature of that salvation that God sent down by means of the cross. He so loved us that he sent his only begotten Son. That's sublime love. Sublime is actually a Latin word. I like to flaunt my Latin sometimes. I actually studied some Latin in high school. Well, I shouldn't say I studied it. I kind of slept through most of it. But apparently I learned some in my sleep. And it's a Latin word that means to elevate. So I think you'll understand the essence there. I'm sure you probably heard that word or know about it. Well, agape is the highest form of love. That's the word that's found here in John 3:16. God so loved. That's agape love. The highest form of love. The Greeks had, I think, three words for love. But among them, agape was the unselfish love of, for example, a parent for a child. A love that would sacrifice. A love that would love without needing love returned. I don't know that God is totally oblivious to the need for our love. I don't think that's true. I think like a parent, we want to be loved. God wants to be loved. It's, I think, why he created us. Because he wanted this volitional kind of love. Love that is not coerced. I think we understand the difference here. So the height of love, first of all. And then I want us to think about the depth of love. God so loved the world. Now, I know we think of the world as a beautiful place because we live in a beautiful place. We know that even around us, it's not all that beautiful. And certainly people's lives are really a mess. Our own lives are sometimes a mess. Maybe you just need to be honest sometimes and confess that and just ask the Lord's help. It's really what the cross is all about. God so loved us that he sent his only begotten Son. It's condescending, this love, this depth of salvation. He so loved the world. That word for world is cosmos. And it makes me think of the created world. The Bible says in Psalm 45:8 that Jesus came out of the ivory palaces into this cosmos. It was a dark world. It is a dark world. But can you imagine the contrast that there must have been? This one who never knew anything but the presence of God, the Son of God we're talking about, the second person of the Trinity, stepped out of eternity and came to this dark, sin-cursed world. I don't think we can fully comprehend what a great descent that was for our Lord to make. I've descended into coal mines and caves. I know how dark and dreary it is. I've never been to hell, but I've envisioned it in my mind. It must have been for Jesus, like going from here to hell would be for us. Condescending. It speaks of his love. God so loved us that he sent his only begotten Son. Compassionate, certainly, is in that depth dimension. The Greek word agapao is the word that we translate love, that God so loved the world. We're told many times in the Bible that Jesus looked upon people with compassion. He was moved, the Bible says, with compassion. And here we see a glimpse into the heart of God. What made God send his Son to Calvary? His compassion, his love. And comprehensive. Whosoever really sums that up, the comprehensiveness of that depth of salvation. So there's the height of salvation, the depth of salvation, and then the breadth of salvation, the horizontal dimension of the cross. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, and we're going to see the rest of it in just a moment. First, we're going to look at the depth, or the breadth, rather. Again, this is the horizontal dimension. And under that breadth, I want you to think about the giving. God gave the greatest gift that anyone has ever given. God gave his Son. I've often thought of that. Would I be willing to give my Son? To be honest, when he was a teenager, I had three, and a daughter. There might have been some times I might have been talked into it. But most of the time, I mean, as parents, you know, we love our children, faults and all. But here was a spotless son, a son without fault, ripped from the very heart of God, given willingly, though, was this greatest gift that God gave. Going, Jesus was willing to go for us. And I love that verse in Psalm 40 and verse 7, where I believe this is Jesus speaking. And he says, "Then I said, lo, I have come. It is written about me in the volume of the book. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart, granted to whosoever, to whomsoever believes." That's grace, when you think of it. Whoever believes. I mean, wouldn't we like to contribute something toward it? Most of us would. Most of us would like to think that, no, we don't want just something given to us. Because we don't want to admit that we have nothing to give back. But again, it's what salvation is all about. The breadth. And then the length. So we have the height, the depth, the breadth, and then the length. From top to bottom, if you will. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So there you have the entire diagram there, such as it is. And I'm not sure that God intended that from the cross, that the cross be used as an object lesson in that way, but I see there John 3:16. I think you do too. And the length is the fourth dimension then. For all. Whosoever sums that up. For all. I think that means not only for all back then, but for all down to the present time. Even going back to the time of Abraham and before that, the Bible says that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And God instructed that they bring sacrifices to him. That really foreshadowed what Jesus did for us on the cross. The Bible says he is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So he died for all. He died really forever. I don't mean he died forever. But the length of that salvation is forever. For all time. For eternity. Beyond time. The Bible says God is outside of time. God is not limited by time. Because he created time. And one day there will be time no more, the Bible says. And in that eternity, we will be in one of two places. We will be in heaven or we will be in hell. But Jesus came to rescue us really from the jaws of hell that have opened wide its mouth to swallow us up. He snatched us from that unspeakable fate for all, forever, for good. Shall not perish, the Bible says, but have everlasting life. I love that present tense of that verb there, have everlasting life. It means beginning right now. If you've never invited Jesus to come into your life, he wants to give you everlasting life, beginning right now and going on forever into eternity.
My peace I give unto you. It's a peace that the world cannot give. It's a peace that the world cannot understand. It's a new world.